Today's podcast is brought to you by Balance 7. Save $10 plus free shipping this week only with code HOWIE10 at balance7.com. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. Happy Wednesday. We're halfway through the week. And I have to say that usually with these budgets and spending bills, it can be kind of boring, you know, getting into the weeds of it. And I'm sure 10 years ago or 20 years ago, it was very boring because that was when people, you know, they weren't as insane. But now there's a few elements of these spending deals that are pretty entertaining. One is the pipe dreams and the pie in the sky proposals that the Democrats put forward. We talked a lot yesterday about tree equity, the Civilian Climate Corps, the $79 billion for the IRS. I mean, these people can dream. They dream big. The sky's the limit. Reach for the moon, and if you fall, you'll land among the stars, I believe is the old saying. And that's what they do. And there's nothing too big. There's no price too high. And there's nothing that's not free. Free is in the eye of the beholder. And when you're a Democrat, anything can be free. If you just think long and hard enough about it, you can make something free. Now, that's one part of it.
Freedom!
That's one part of it, is that their dreams, their the pork that they love to shove into these things is, you know, if it wasn't so scary, if you didn't know that you were the one paying for it, you get even more of a laugh out of it. But then there's the other element right now of the infighting. And the infighting with Democrats, especially because they have all the control, for me, is a beautiful thing to watch. I say this all the time on the show. But when the Democrats start turning on each other, that's when I become the popcorn meme, the Michael Jackson popcorn meme. I just sit here and I just watch. And the funniest part of the entire thing is Nancy Pelosi, because, well, we'll get to that in a second. But I want to talk about this $3.5 trillion spending plan that's not going to cost us any money. Because
I can't let the man continue with fuzzy math.
Oh, Joe Biden is going to continue. Joe Biden actually is not going to Chicago because they need his negotiation skills. They need him to use some of those gaps in his schedule to try to convince people like Senator Joe Manchin and Senator Kristen Sinema to come on board. And that's looking less and less likely, thank God. But they need him here. And first of all, I just want to say that I can't imagine how devastated Joe is to miss out on all of those new ice cream stores that he probably had never been to before. He was probably planning to go to at least 6 or 7 in his time in Chicago.
Looking forward to that Chicago deep dish ice cream.
Yeah. I mean, the possibilities were endless. And my heart goes out to him for that, because I'm sure he's sitting around today going, oh man, I wanted to try that Chicago chocolate chip. But alas, that is the price you have to pay. Heavy is the head that wears the crown, as they say. And this is just some of his responsibilities. So he's going to stick around in D.C., which is such a bummer for him. And he's going to try to convince Manchin and Sinema to jump on board this disastrous idea. And they're sticking. Here's the insane part of it. They're sticking with this complete false notion that this is a free bill, that this is $3.5 trillion boondoggle is somehow going to cost us $0. At first, I thought that was a glitch. I thought that was something Joe Biden said in a speech. And, you know, when he starts talking about the economy, he goes into that whisper voice. He starts talking about helping out the regular people. And then he talks about how he likes rich people. God bless him. He should know he is one. You want to talk about taxes? Look into Joe Biden's taxes, his charitable givings. You want to talk about rich people? The only time the guy took a break from government, from working for the government, was that little break where he made a lot of money on book deals and speaking fees. But you can do that on your own. That's a topic for another time. So whenever he talks about these things, he lets his mouth get ahead of him, and he throws out numbers that don't make any sense. And even people in the mainstream media sometimes have to fact check him.
But 8 to 5, 2 to 3 out of 5.
They're not really fact checking this idea that this is going to cost us $0. In fact, Jen Psaki, who is Joe Biden's White House press secretary, she's actually repeating this absurd claim. This is cut 8, please, Jared.
This package, the reconciliation package, would cost $0. So what I'm saying, the case we're making here is that there needs to be agreement on the different components. There's broad agreement on the goals.
This tunnel will be a bargain. That's all I can think of when I hear that.
That is false.
And another person who is repeating this nonsense is Nancy Pelosi. She also said that this package will cost $0, cut 3.
It's not about a dollar amount. The dollar amount, as the president said, is zero. This bill will be paid for. It's about what are the values that we share and how we prioritize them. And that is the place that we will go.
Now, unfortunately for Pelosi and Jen Psaki and all of the members of the Ministry of Truth that just say things and then hope people buy it, the Americans in this country, and moderates specifically in the Senate, are not as convinced that this is going to cost us $0. It's wonderful that Glenn Kessler and people at the Washington Post and the White House press corps, that they're on board. You know, they're easy sells to this kind of stuff. But people like Kristen Sinema and Joe Manchin aren't. So the back and forth meetings continue. Now, it got really good yesterday because Bernie Sanders is now telling the House Democrats to vote against the bipartisan infrastructure bill until Congress passes a strong reconciliation bill.
Blah, 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 blah.
In other words, for people who are just catching up to this, Bernie Sanders wants the progressive Democrats to tank the only win that Joe Biden might be able to have in his first term and hopefully his last term. Because Bernie Sanders wants the $3.5 trillion tree equity, civilian climate corps, free college blank check, and he doesn't think he's going to get it unless he holds this $1.5 trillion bill, or you know what, I think it's $1.2 trillion bill hostage. That's what he's going to do, because he is the top dog when it comes to the spoiled brat progressives. You know, they learn from the best. He's going to throw a tantrum. He's going to sit there with his legs crossed and his, you know, gloves on, his mittens, and he's going to say, no, absolutely not. We will tank this thing. And he's right. His thought process is right. He knows that if the infrastructure bill passes, there's no shot that his boondoggle bill will go anywhere. You know, Manchin and Sinema will be like, oh, thank God. We passed this. We did something. Joe Biden can have a win. Moderate Democrats look good. And we can step away from this pile of garbage. So he knows it's the only leverage they have. And so he's going to hold the real infrastructure bill, not the human infrastructure bill, the infrastructure bill that could be used towards bridges and roads. And, you know, it's pretty across the aisle. It's pretty agreed upon that we desperately do need an infrastructure bill. That was one of Trump's things he wanted to get passed, but he could not. So he wants to hold that hostage. And my favorite aspect of this is the toll that it is clearly taking on Nancy Antoinette Pelosi. She doesn't know if she should bleep or wind her watch right now. And to be honest, I'm almost thinking that she's probably wishing Trump was back. Because when you think about it, when Trump was in office, when Orange Man Bad was ruling the streets, Nancy Pelosi was the most popular she's ever going to be. She was a girl boss. She was in vogue. She was ripping up State of the Union addresses. She was eating fancy chocolate on James Corden. She was, you know, awesome. She wore fancy suits and scarves that matched her masks. And, you know, yes, queen. She was the best ever. And now she seems to be hated by everyone. Now she's kind of crumbling. Because what she did this week was she unhooked one bill from the other. And that was always her promise. That was always something she said. You know, it's a dual track. It's an in tandem bills. If one doesn't go through, then the other won't go through. I'll get you, my pretty, and your little dog, too. So she had both. And then she must have realized, oh, no, 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 no. This is never going to work. We don't have the votes. We need to get one thing through or else Joe Biden is done for. His presidency is over as we know it. Like Stephen Miller pointed out yesterday, 2022, those campaigns are going to start in a couple months. This is, you know, this needs to happen. And on top of that, she has a lot of other problems. It's not just passing this bill. She has to worry. She has to worry about so many different things. They've got so many balls in the air right now. And she's getting this now from all sides because she unlinked the bills and Rashida Tlaib, AOC, all of the far left progressives, who at one point she told us was only one wing of her party, cut 21.
You have these wings, AOC and her group on one side.
That's like five people.
No, it's the progressive group. It's more than five.
I'm a progressive, yeah.
So now she's getting heat on both sides. And what happens when Nancy Pelosi feels any sort of pressure or any sort of pushback or gets any sort of criticism? She is up there with Joe Biden when it comes to glass jaws. This woman is fragile and she gets very snappy. And on top of this reconciliation bill, this infrastructure bill, she's also dealing with the debt ceiling. And so she was asked about this by a reporter. Listen to her response, cut two.
It looks like the debt limit guy extension might not advance in the Senate. Why get mad at members? Why twist the arms of moderates if this is not going to move anywhere?
What are you talking about? We have a responsibility to uphold, to lift up the full faith and credit of the United States of America. That's what we have to do. These members have all voted for this last week.
What are you talking about? She's almost as mad as when someone asked her if she hated Trump and she started going into that whole I'm a Catholic thing. She was really offended. So not only is she getting snappy, she's getting sloppy and she's kind of losing her marbles, whatever marbles she had left. We'll get into that when we come back. She had a slip of the tongue, which I think people will find pretty amusing. And it's not just infighting as far as these budgets go and these spending bills. The infighting is it's trickling out. Obama said something that is angering Psaki and Joe Biden. And then at the same time, these hearings continue on Capitol Hill and these top generals are still testifying that they told Joe Biden to leave 2,500 troops in Afghanistan. And at some point, Joe Biden's going to have to answer a question on that. I don't know when
you're
it's going to be.
You're a lying dog-faced pony soldier.
You know, a reporter, a very anti-Trump reporter, I believe she's from CBS, asked Jen Psaki about this. And it was interesting to watch because Jen Psaki was, she's so not used to these people really pushing her on this. And I think her response was something like, well, it's not like you see in the movies. 13 people are dead. 13 U.S. service members are dead because of those decisions. That answer is not going to cut it. I don't care how much the press loves you. At a certain point, these reporters have to ask these questions. 844-500-4242. So much to get to today. Don't go anywhere. It's The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Is that if the dual track agreement is broken and we only pass the infrastructure bill in the House, I suspect we will never get to a reconciliation or that'll be significantly watered down.
That was Bernie Sanders talking to reporters, I believe yesterday, about why he thinks House Democrats should try to tank this infrastructure bill. And I hope they take his advice. because then we are really going to see fireworks in this Democrat civil war. If they tank this, Biden is really in trouble. I mean, you already know he's really in trouble by the fact that he canceled his trip to Chicago, which was, I'm sure, going to be, I think it had to do with vaccine passport mandates in Chicago. And he was going to, you know, see the face of Chicago, Lori Lightfoot, and talk about how proud he was that these businesses forced people to show their papers before entering. So the fact that he had to cancel that good time really shows you that he means business. And what I wanted to say before we went to break there was that the infighting is not just in regards to the spending bills. It really is now taking over a lot of different aspects of politics. But before we even go to that, let's play Nancy Pelosi because she gives me a nice segue into my next story. I mentioned that Nancy is so stressed out about not being the most popular girl in the cafeteria anymore, that she's losing her cool, which we've seen a lot. I mean, anyone who rips up a State of the Union address on camera clearly does not have a good sense of calmness. She clearly can't control her emotions. She's a child. She has the maturity of like a five-year-old at an ice cream store who wants to get, you know, the flavor and three scoops, and then they fall on the floor and they freak out. That is Nancy Pelosi. She's used to things going her way. She's used to the media treating her nicely and telling her how great she is. And she's used to posing on the cover of like Rolling Stone magazine. So all of this new heat that she's getting thrown is very shocking to her. And in fact, I think once you get frustrated and you get snappy, you also get sloppy. I mean, add that to the fact that she's incredibly old, and it makes sense that she's making all these mistakes. Listen to what Nancy Pelosi said about Biden's agenda, cut one.
Keep government open. We have to do those imminently, more imminently even, to address the full Obama agenda of building back better. Building back better.
I was just going to say, I think she prefers to say bagel back better.
Bagel back better.
But the Obama agenda, this is, you know, and you know what? It's only fair that she should reference Obama, because when Trump was president, she was referencing George Bush. She's a woman stuck in time. She doesn't change based off the new names. She sticks to what she knows. So now she's calling it the Obama agenda. But what's interesting about this is it gives me a nice segue into talking a little bit about Barack Obama, because he's getting a lot of attention right now for comments he made in an interview. I think it was with Good Morning America. Listen to this, cut 19.
We're a nation state. We have borders. The idea that we can just have open borders is something that I think, as a practical matter, is unsustainable.
Whoa.
Racism.
Excuse me.
What a xenophobe.
That does not sound like someone whose former vice president and current president was telling people to surge the borders during the campaign. Listen, this goes in direct. This goes directly against everything Joe Biden stands for. He loves open borders. That's why they don't want to build a wall. That's why Del Rio is melting down at a rapid pace. I don't know where Obama thinks he, what does he think he's doing? First, he doesn't invite Joe to the super spreader. And now this,
it's like he's literally at the border whipping migrants.
We will be back, and we're going to talk a little bit about these hearings with the top generals, because once again, it all plays into more Democrat infighting. They're turning on one another, and my God, it's a beautiful thing to see. We'll take your calls after the break.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
It's paid for by asking the wealthiest of Americans, who have benefited incredibly over the last several decades, and even in the midst of a pandemic, saw their wealth and assets rise enormously, asking them to pay a few percentage points more in taxes in order to make sure that we have an economy that's fair for everybody.
That's fair for everybody. Spoken like a true multi-millionaire with numerous Netflix, Spotify deals. That's former President Barack Obama pushing his agenda. I'm sorry, Joe Biden's agenda. Nancy Pelosi thinks it's Obama's agenda. And she's probably not far off. But I'm very confused because on one hand, we're being told that this is totally free. It's going to, you know, cost us $0. But I heard Obama at the beginning of that, and maybe we can play it again, Jared. He said it's going to be paid for by certain people.
It's paid for by asking the wealthiest of Americans who have benefited incredibly over the last several decades. And
that doesn't sound like free. If someone's paying for it, and I know it's the evil rich, rich, rich people, then it's not free. And by the way, even if you buy that line of complete and utter BS, you know what happens when the rich, rich, rich people have to pay a lot more? Or I'm sorry, Barack said it's just a couple points more, percentage more on you know what they already pay. Because they like being very vague right now. But you know what happens when rich, rich, rich people have to pay more? That trickles down. They start charging more for things. They start paying people less. Somehow it's going to affect even the little people, even the regular folks, even as Joe Biden likes to call us, the ordinary Americans. Yeah, it's going to affect you too. But Barack thinks that if he says that, you know, very wealthy people just have to pay a little bit more, then people will buy into this. I mean, between that and the comments on the border, that was a real whopper of an interview. Peggy, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Peggy.
Hi, Grace. Great show, as usual. I've given this some thought, and I think about it a lot, and it's pretty basic when you really think about it. The liberal elite is constantly, you know, reminding us how bad we are, you know, how racist we are, how uncaring we are, et cetera, et cetera. Meanwhile, millions and millions and millions are trying to get into this country. So if we're so bad, why do they want to come? And the reason why everybody wants to come is for all of the current entitlements and the ones that they're promising them in the future. And I firmly believe that the end game for the left, you know, you can really simplify it, is buying millions of new voters to solidify their base forever.
Yeah, no, I think that's a very fair assessment of the situation. I think it's pretty disheartening how we have seemed to just give up on the idea of even having a border. And David Marcus from Fox News and the New York Post, he was in Del Rio recently, and he wrote about his takeaway from it. And I'm paraphrasing here, but he said it's similar to what we do to our soldiers in war, where we send them somewhere and they're doing the absolute best they can. And, you know, they're giving it all they have, but there's not a clear mission. You know, there's no direction. There's no success because there's nothing to win here. There's no goal. It's hard to succeed when you don't have a goal. And right now, it seems like the goal is to let as many people in the country as possible, unvetted, unvaxxed. And then the second that a story pops up about Border Patrol agents maybe mistreating some of these illegal aliens and turned out to be completely fake news, then it's time to pounce and weaponize and seize on the story and make these Border Patrol agents out to be the villains. And a country cannot continue like that. I mean, there's no way we can survive at the rate we're going. And it makes me very sad to say that. And now, speaking of the military, thank you for the call, Peggy. Great call. I did want to go back here to these top generals who are testifying because it's important that people hear this. And specifically, I wanted to mention that yesterday, all three, I think, of these top generals, McKenzie, Austin, and Milley, confirmed that they told Joe Biden to leave 2,500 troops in Afghanistan. Now, Joe Biden has said on the record, I mean, not under oath, but he said it to George Stephanopoulos. And, you know, for liberals, that's pretty much the same thing as under oath. He said that no one told him that, that no one gave him that advice. Now, today, General McKenzie doubled down on the fact that that is a lie. He didn't say it's a lie, but if you put two and two together, you can figure it out. Cut 16.
I will say this. It has been my view that we should have, that I recommended a level of 2,500, a level that would have allowed us to hold Bagram and other airfields as well. Once you go below that level and make a decision to go to zero, it is no longer feasible to hold Bagram.
But that was your best opinion and advice.
That remains my view now as it was then.
Now, a reporter in the White House press room asked Jen Psaki about this because you really have two options here. You have that Joe Biden is lying. No, you have three options. You have Joe Biden is lying, or you have these top military officials are lying, or the third option is Joe Biden just actually doesn't remember being told this. Which
the fact is that I don't remember.
That's not completely out of bounds. I think we can all admit that. But someone's lying here. And like I said in the first segment, when you have such a disastrous situation and such a deadly situation, 13 U.S. service members, hundreds of Afghans who are dead because of this, we should find out who's lying. You know, it's not something where someone's lying and, oh, I guess we'll never really know. We should know, so that this doesn't happen again. And a reporter asked Jen Psaki about this. And this reporter is notoriously an anti-Trumper. She went back and forth with Trump several times. And so she asked Jen Psaki about this contradiction, about these two different accounts of what happened. And let's break this down a little bit. So this is Psaki responding to the reporter, cut 23.
What do you mean by split? What were they split between?
What's confusing about that?
Well, it's either one, they were advising that 2,500 troops should remain on the ground, or two, that someone was advising that it should be zero.
Well, again, Weijia, I think it's important for the American people to know that these conversations don't happen in black and white or like you're in the middle of a movie. These conversations are about a range of options, about what the risk assessments are, about every decision. And of course, there are individuals who come forward with a range of recommendations on what the right path forward looks like.
But it seems like it wasn't a range. It seems like the people who you would go to, your top military advisors, the Joint Chiefs of Staff, the Secretary of Defense, it seems like all of those people were on one side of this. It was kind of black and white. And I just want to say, whenever Jen Psaki says, I think it's important for the American people to know, that's her basically saying, I'm about to spew some propaganda, and if you're just tuning in for 15 seconds, this is what you should take away from this. This is the truth, as I'm telling you it. So condescending. So insane that she thinks that we're all going to be satisfied with that. Well, it's not like it is in the movies. Nothing's black and white. It sounds like a song or something, you know? Everything's not black and white. Okay, next question. Let's talk about ice cream. No, we still have more questions that didn't answer anything. Everyone, McKenzie, Milley, they're all saying they told him the same advice. So where did he go off of this? Where did he decide zero was the right number? It does seem kind of black and white. Let's do cut 24.
I'm not going to detail those from here. They're private conversations and advice to the President of the United States. Ultimately, regardless of the advice, it's his decision. He's the commander in chief. He's the president. He makes decisions about what's in the national interest. And he believed we should end the war.
But when he made that decision, that's not our question. We know that he made the decision, the buck stops with Joe, after he blames every single other person in his administration. We know that, Jen. But the question here is, why did he tell George Stephanopoulos that he never was advised that? Because if he was never advised to keep 2,500 troops in there, that means our top military experts are lying to the American people under oath. And if he was advised that, that means he went against that advice, and now 13 U.S. service members are dead. She's not stupid. She understands here what the question is. Like, she understands all these questions. But to frame it as in, well, no, he made his own decision, that's not what we're asking. Because he told George Stephanopoulos he made this decision with basically zero information, with no one telling him that this might be a bad idea. And that would be a problem. If the president of the United States is sitting at a table with his top military officials and nobody says, hey, just so you know, I think you should leave 2,500 troops in there or else we're going to end up with 13 dead U.S. service members, that's an issue. And that's what he told George Steffi Stephanopoulos. Let's play cut 25.
More broadly, who does he consider to be his top military advisors?
He considers, of course, the Secretary of Defense, the Secretary, the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs. He considers a range of advice from his national security team.
Again, the range of people. So he considers the three guys who are currently saying that they told him 2,500 troops. That's who he considers. And he didn't listen to them. But that's who he considers his top military advisors. Now, this is where I really appreciated this reporter. Because she then asked about Milley talking to authors. And when we get back, I'm going to play that. I'm also going to play Josh Hawley, because he railed against General Mark Milley and how political this guy is and how he wanted to make himself look good to the press. He wanted to get that strange new respect. And Hawley just laid him out, and it was great. And this reporter, and I'll get her full name, she's saying the same thing to Jen Psaki. She's saying, should he have been talking to all these authors about the past president? And by the way, just to give you guys a sense of...
Weijia Zhang.
Thank you, Weijia Zhang. She used to go back and forth with Trump all the time, as did most of these reporters. Now they're starting to get that fire back, which is always lovely to see. It's a little late, but we'll take it. But this idea that these top military advisors are talking to authors so that they can get nice write-ups and be friends and maybe get invited to the cocktail parties is disgusting. And you know what I saw yesterday? I just want to mention this because I'm sure sometimes people go, you know, Grace, there's no way you're this angry about it. But I am, because yesterday I'm on Twitter, and Twitter sucks, and Twitter is run by Jack Dorsey, and he promotes things he wants to be stories, and he suppresses things that he doesn't want to be stories. And I saw that Music Man was trending, and I guess in some new anti-Trump book, they're saying that President Trump used to have people play like music from game shows so that he would keep calm or that he wouldn't lose his temper. It was some dumb anecdote story that I don't care about. I care as much about that as I care about his Diet Coke button. Doesn't make any difference to me. But I'm sitting there going, all of these people, these Trump deranged idiots on Twitter. Oh, the Music Man. Oh, he's a crazy. Oh, we should have known this when he was in there. They don't see a peep about the 13 U.S. service members who are dead. They don't care whether or not Joe Biden took the advice of his military officials. They still only care about Orange Man and some crazy anonymous source story that they're hearing in a new coffee table book that no one's going to read, but people are going to put out in their kitchen so they can tell all their friends that I hate Donald Trump too. And that's going to sustain them for the rest of their lives. Their personality now is I hate Donald Trump. And Donald Trump's so wacky. And everything else, Del Rio, Afghanistan, all of this, none of that matters to them because the ends justify the means. And unfortunately, what we're seeing right now is the ends, the stakes are incredibly high. The price we're paying so that these people can feel good about hating Donald Trump, the stakes are getting higher, the costs are getting higher, and it's a very depressing thing to watch unfold. We'll be back with your calls, 844-500-4242. You've heard me rave about Aviva Trattoria. We all do. I mean, they come in every Thursday and the food is just incredible. And now you can experience it for yourself because Howie and I will be broadcasting live from Aviva in Malden this Friday from 12 to 6. Come by, see the show, get some free books, and try their Aviva salad with salmon or their pizzas, their sandwiches, their chips, their homemade chips, their tiramisu, their cannolis. Everything at Aviva. And if you want to go really classic Italian, their chicken parm, chicken milanese, all their pastas, everything is so delicious, so fresh. They use a lot of local ingredients and everything can be made gluten-free, basically, which you don't hear a lot about Italian restaurants. It's just an amazing place. Great staff, great chef, and great cocktails, which you guys know, that's one of my personal favorites. The Aviva Mai Tai, the Sangria, everything's delicious. So come to Aviva in Malden this Friday, and you can see Howie and me live from 12 to 6. And if I'm not enough to get you there, they have free parking. It's highly, that sounded like an Oprah giving away a free car. Free.
You get free parking. You get free parking.
Free parking! But seriously, everybody loves free parking. Who doesn't love that?
Free parking in a cannoli. You can't beat it.
It's highly recommended that you make a reservation. Call 781-480-4922. That's 781-480-4922. See you Friday. We'll be back with your calls. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Grace Curley. She's the cool kid at the lunch table.
I want a hamburger. No, a cheeseburger. I want a hot dog. I want a milkshake. I want potato
You'll
chips.
Get nothing and like it.
This is the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Today's poll question is brought to you by Kennedy Carpet. Howie has used Kennedy for decades, and I am using Kennedy right now. I'm getting Kennedy Carpet in my living room and dining room, and I'm so excited about it. For all of your flooring needs and carpet cleaning, go to kennedycarpet.com today. Jared, what is the poll question, and what are the results thus far?
Well, it's National Coffee Day. So which is better, hot coffee or iced coffee?
This is a simple poll question, but I will be very curious how it plays out. I am firmly, firmly on the side of iced coffee.
72% say hot coffee.
Really?
As opposed to 28% for iced coffee.
You know what, though? That's got to be...
Can't kill a classic.
That's got to be the older demo where, you know, any of the young listeners, you got to get on your computers and your gadgets and you got to vote for iced coffee. It's just better. I mean, I know that hot coffee's good. I like hot coffee at a diner. You've got to get it at a diner. I've seen young people try to get iced coffee at diners. Yuck. But in general, I would drink iced coffee in the summer, in the fall, in the winter. I'm one of those people. And I think you are too, Jaren.
I enjoy both. But if I had to pick, I would go with hot coffee.
Really?
Over iced coffee. Yeah. I enjoy the iced coffee. I like the cold brew. I like all that stuff. But if I am limited to one type of coffee for the rest of eternity, I am going hot coffee, even in the summer.
Yeah, my mom's the same way. She would get hot coffee all the time. 844-500-4242. When we get back, we've got great sound from yesterday from Josh Hawley, and Matt Gaetz was ripping in to these top military generals today. So don't miss it. Tons of sound. Don't go anywhere. We'll take your calls. This is The Grace Curley Show.